85th Psalm, if you have your Bible with you. There's a pressing need around the world. Missionaries go to mission fields. We say it's to spread the gospel. But really the bottom line is that it's the importance or the necessity, the tremendous need for what we would call revival. You think about a mission field, you wouldn't necessarily think about a missionary going there for revival. They're going there to spread the gospel, but really it's all the same. This passage of Scripture here in the 85th Psalm, I've heard it preached from or used as a launching pad, as Brother Atwell would have said. So many times I don't believe that I could count them all if I were to remember them. I couldn't count them all on my hands and my toes, I know that. I've heard it numerous times, maybe you have too. Wilt thou not revive us again? Not a very profound text, but it's relevant for 2015. The United States of America, Indiana, Martin County, Wiseball Community Church. It tells us essentially five things. This little text tells us of the need of revival. It tells us of the source of revival. It tells us the means of revival. It tells us the subject for revival. And it tells us the effect of revival. It's all found in this one verse. The need for revival. We think about revival and we think about the need for revival, and on the surface, I suppose that we all collectively would say that we need revival across our land more than what we need revival here. And yet Peter tells us, with somewhat a different context, but still the essence is there, that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And so if we expect to see revival in America, it's going to have to start somewhere. And if we take that verse, that thought out of 1 Peter, to understand that it can be placed within the context here, that revival must first begin at the house of God. Some translations use that phrase, the house of God, to translate it, the household of God, the people of God. Not necessarily signifying the walls of the building, but the people of, the household. Need of revival. What is the need of revival? How do we know we need revival? Somebody would say that the need is apparent when, don't shut me out here when I say this, but this is the definition that has been given in the past. The need is apparent whenever there is coldness, languidness, and fruitlessness. Suppose, yeah, if that's the case, then yeah, we need something. The psalmist here uses a word that brings to mind that there were better days. Revive us again. The need for revival is brought out with that one word, again. Do you remember revivals of the past? Maybe I could even say, do you remember conventions of the past or camp meetings of the past? there's probably something in your mind. Again, I don't know where the breakdown of the age would be that the younger ones wouldn't necessarily remember specifics or things that you and I would remember, or the majestic spirit of revival that what some of us would remember. But there's something, there's a meeting somewhere in our mind that we compare to, that we look at. A camp meeting, a convention, a revival meeting. Maybe it was one service, or maybe it was an extension of services. But we have something in our mind where we are comparing revival meeting. Oh, that we could have that kind of meeting again. I think perhaps the meeting that stands out the most in my mind was when I was in Bible school. If we were to ask the people here that have been to Bible college for at least a semester, I don't know, but there may be some others that would be able to pinpoint those times in classes or in revival meetings or in chapel services where God moved in and swept in wave upon wave at times. Again, remembering. But let's get back to the definition that has been given, or the need is apparent whenever. Let's look at that for just a little bit this evening. What about coldness? What do we mean, or what could be meant with coldness? Jesus said, "I wish that you were hot or cold, but rather lukewarm. I spit you out of my mouth." He wants us to be hot or cold. The lukewarmness doesn't go over. You know, it's so real that so much lukewarmness today that it's hard to get people, it's hard for us to see that people, or for people to see that they're really lost in that state. I've heard it said, I'm sure you've heard it said, that the hardest task in our day is to get people to understand that they are lost before you can get them saved. Coldness. Coldness would indicate a backsliding. Oh, preacher, you're talking to the wrong crowd. Let's just listen here. Coldness. A cooling off. A backsliding. That doesn't mean that you dropped all the way back into sin. It doesn't mean that you went back to everything that you were before you got saved, or before you found Christ, before you found redemption. It's not talking about that necessarily. It's simply talking about sliding backwards, going back on what you once believed. Coldness, I believe, is a very real aspect that you and I must be conscious of, that you and I must be aware of, and recognize that we individually could be caught in that number. What's the word languidness mean? Well, it would mean weakness, lacking vigor and vitality. I don't know how to compare it the best. I don't know what is the best opportunity or example to give in this sense. Somebody asked me yesterday if I was 45 yet. They're friends when they ask that sort of thing. Closer to that next big mark than what I am to 45, and just had to chuckle within myself. Watching young guys play basketball, and if only they would do it this way. If only I could get out there and show them, go up for a layup, and the mind is far ahead of the ability of the body at this age. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there, you've done that. There's some things that you used to be able to do. There's some things that you are able to accomplish, and you still think in your mind that you can still do that. It just doesn't happen that way. Oh, I can envision myself grabbing the rim can't do it. But my mind tells me that I can. Jump up and slap the backboard. My mind tells me that I can. I have visions of doing it, but I can't do it. The body doesn't allow it. Languidness. There's a weakness that has taken over. There is a lacking of vitality, a lacking of vigor that has taken over. Just not able to do it anymore. Warren's boys aren't here. Let me use that as an example tonight. He says that he beat them all arm wrestling at one point or another. But he knows that now's not the time to try to repeat it. Let the bygone be bygone. I beat you then. That's sufficient. The mind says I can, but the body just may not be able to perform at that level anymore. Is there languidness in the spiritual? We in our mind think that there's been no change, and yet when it comes down to the necessity of the battle or the necessity of the warfare, that we lose ground because in reality our spiritual has languished. Fruitlessness. More times than not, we talk about fruitlessness in relation to the fruit of the Spirit. We want to compare all of that is talked about with being or bearing fruit or having fruit, and we want to talk about it with the fruit of the Spirit as our main thought and our main emphasis. But what about bearing fruit as in the actual product? Bearing fruit. Reproducing ourselves. Sheep bearing lambs. What about that? I don't want to be too hard on us. I don't want to be in any way critical of us, because I'm a believer that we do not know the influence that we have and the impact that we have. We do not know the dollar that is given to the offering in the offering plate for that missionary and how that reaches that lost soul somewhere else. I don't know about all of those things, but if we're satisfied, if that's what we're satisfied with, that is all that we are required to do, then I'm wondering if we are really measuring to the standard that God wants us to be measured to of fruit bearing. Need is apparent whenever there is fruitlessness. Does it ever burn on your heart? The need to reach somebody brand new for Jesus Christ. I read this recently. I don't know how much stock to put in it, but it's definitely something that has piqued my interest. Undoubtedly, there would be less sinners with broken lives if there were more saints with broken hearts. Let me read it again. Undoubtedly, there would be less sinners with broken lives if there were more saints with broken hearts. You understand now that when I said I don't know how much stock to put in it, but it definitely piques my interest. One minister said, "Lord, revive me. Put more spiritual life into me. Results are lacking. People aren't hearing. Dead people can't reproduce. Dead ministers can't feed. Sick people can't reproduce." The need of revival. Whether we want to admit it or not, we need a revival. If we look at ourselves in the mirror of God's Word, in the light of God's Word, we need a revival. Revival, what is that? If we put it in our terms, if we put it in our layman terms, we would probably have something to say along this line, that a revival would be something beyond the normal, past the usual. Not satisfied with the mediocre. Isn't that basically what we have in our mind? The essence of revival in our mind is something beyond the normal, past the usual, above the mediocre. Did you pray tonight when you came to church, Lord, give us something beyond the norm? Have you been asking and seeking God, give us something more than what we've had? Give us something more than the usual. Not saying that we're unsatisfied with the usual, but we become dissatisfied with mediocrity. We want to rise. We need more. Our kids need more. The source of revival is found in this text. It's a four-letter word. Second word of the verse, thou. In reference to God, it is God, the Spirit of God, that quickens. There is no other appliance that is able to bring revival. How many times have you had or seen an evangelist come? I believe that if my memory is correct, somebody did it right here or in the building next door. Brought their suitcase in and said, I did not bring revival with me. If my memory is correct, somebody said that that happened here. Have you heard that? We can call a well-known evangelist. We can call an evangelist that has had experience after experience of seeing revival meeting after revival meeting blossom into something more than the usual. But that's no guarantee that we will see that here any more than anywhere else. It's simply God that brings the He's the source. What about the means? The means is found in this verse. Are you looking for it? Did you find the means? The means of revival is found in this verse. Wilt thou not revive us again? Did you catch it? It's called prayer. The verse is a prayer. The verse is a heart cry to God Himself, a plea from the depths of the soul. You read the previous verses here and you can feel the pathos. You can feel the passion. You can feel it all building within the heart of this writer as he cries, wilt thou not revive us again? You say, well, maybe you're adding some emotion to it. Maybe I am. But as I read it, I can feel it for myself. Jump over to Isaiah chapter 40. I can feel that same passion in that passage as well. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord. How much waiting do I do? The microwave is plenty handy. The quick push of the button. 30 seconds, 60 seconds later, something is at least warm enough for me to devour. I don't have to wait for it to be hot unless I want to. I can go ahead and eat it right up. Or I can take something out of the freezer and press one button and it goes for a minute, or press a different button and it goes for 2 minutes. And I'm waiting for just a moment and there it is, ready to be eaten. But they that wait upon the Lord. Go through the drive-thru at the restaurant and I can order at one window and I go to the next window and I pay for my food and I drive on up to the next window and there my food is ready. Hopefully it's ready. And we Would you please move forward so that, and we'll bring your food. No, I ordered it. It's my turn. You know, we want it now. We are in a fast-paced society. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Fervent prayer, the means of revival. The subjects for revival is found in this text. It's a two-letter word. Us. We are the subjects for revival. It's a personal need. It's a personal need. Are you personally in need of revival? Are you personally seeking for, asking for revival in 2015? Maybe it's your camp meeting that you go to. It doesn't matter to me what venue you wish that God would move in the greatest, but that you recognize it to be a personal need. We need, I need. It's a personal request. Would thou not revive us again? Us. Oh, we can't have God moving at the Baptist church. That would really go against us. We can't have God moving at the Methodist church. That would really, really throw a monkey wrench into things. I wonder if God would move at the Methodist church, how many of us would be willing to join them in that revival? I went to 3 different services Christmas Eve. Some of you would probably be appalled. But I enjoyed, I literally enjoyed the Catholic priest's sermon at midnight, Christmas Eve. Thoroughly enjoyed his sermon. I guess it's called a homily. It was fantastic. I'd like to have copied it down word for word and shared it. It was a good homily. The point of the matter is that revival is a personal need. And if the Methodist Church, dare I say it, the Catholic Church, see a revival, have a move. I'm not talking about going off the deep end in something that would cause us to cringe. I'm talking about a move of the Holy Spirit where people would sense that power of God. Salvation come to people's lives. No, I'm not praying for revival to go to the Catholic Church over our church. I'm not. I'm not even praying that revival would come to the Methodist church over our church. They might need it more than us. But I still want to focus on our need. I want to focus on my need. I want to focus on the personal. I want to pray for the personal. I want to pray that God will revive us, that we will see something beyond the normal, past the usual, above mediocre. I want to see where God brings a spirit upon us that we can feel, that our kids can feel, that our children will be able to point back to and say, I don't know what all it was, but God was there in that service. Subjects for revival are us. It's a personal need. Now the psalmist here gives an effective revival, something that he was expecting. that he was looking to have come about because of revival. I do not want to focus on his effect. I'll give it to you. You can see it there. His effect was that thy people may rejoice in thee. That's what he was looking forward to. What is the effect that we look for? If we are really praying for revival, we are really seeking God for a move in 2015, we really want God to come in an unusual way. You know, we use that word special a lot of times when we want to add weight to something that we're talking about. A special prayer request. In a special way, we use that word special. You know, when we pray that God would come in a special way, what is the effect that we are looking for? Oh, I'm sure that the effect would be that we would delight ourselves more in Him, that we would rejoice more in Him, and all of that, but what are the effects of our desire? What is it that we're looking for? What is it that you're looking for? Wilt thou not revive us again? Is it your prayer? Is it your aim? Your goal, your heart cry, your passion for God to move in a special way. I pray that it is and that it will be. Let's stand together.